Tonight's video is about this watchtower employee, if you will. More like neighborhood security for this small neighborhood in the middle of the woods in the country of England. And this is what happens. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Nearly 3 years ago, when the pandemic began, I moved my family to a small hamlet in the Scottish Highlands. I won't give you its name. I wouldn't want you to find this place. That being said, I can no longer keep this secret to myself. Before this life, I was a poorly paid security guard at a major bank in Carlisle. In December 2019, I was laid off. Over the following month or two, as the world commenced its descent into chaos, I frantically scoured the internet for any kind of job vacancy. Nowhere was hiring. Businesses were closing. Talks of lockdown had begun. I was worried my family and I would become homeless. There were no jobs in Carlisle. I widened my search to the entirety of Great Britain. That was when I found the perfect job listing. Neighborhood watchman. $31,000 per annum. 7 days a week. 0-100 hours to 0-400 hours. Civil service. Funded by Strathpeys Council. Included residence for employees and family. Relevant experience preferred. Relevant experience baffled me because I had never heard of a paid neighborhood watchman before. I was certain that no such job really existed. The neighborhood watch was merely a collective of concerned residents, surely. I couldn't believe that a council would really pay someone to do that. I saw that dozens of people had already applied for the position. Time was of the essence. I polished my CV, placing heavy emphasis on the skills I had acquired from my 2 decades of security work for a bank. When I received an email from Harriet Glade to say that I had been accepted for the position, I was ecstatic. I didn't have to let my family down. I didn't have to worry about being a failure in their eyes. We packed up and drove north. My 2 children, Roy and Grace, were a little disappointed that we were not moving to Edinburgh or Glasgow. They were even more disappointed when they first laid eyes on the tiny hamlet that would soon become our new home. The job title suddenly made complete sense. It was to be a neighborhood watchman, because this hamlet was merely a residential street in the middle of nowhere. There was a row of 6 terraced houses on one side of a long country road. In fact, everything in the hamlet was on the same side of the road. A little farther along, there was a small convenience shop, and just beyond that was a gargantuan house that would become our home. My children perked up when they saw the building. My wife gasped. I gasped. It was spectacular. When I read the word residence in the job advertisement, I had not expected something twice as big as our old home. It was 3 stories tall, and it overlooked the forest, which was a few 100 yards away. Between the hamlet and the wooded area was a large wooden watchtower. It was about 70 feet tall. Okay, this is cool. I forgive you, Dad, Grace said. I laughed. My wife kissed me on the cheek as I pulled onto the driveway. Everyone clambered out of the vehicle, eager to explore the house. You must be the Graysons. A voice came from the direction of the hamlet. I closed the car door and turned to face a short, elderly Scottish woman. She scurried towards me and held out a hand. I shook it. Harriet Glade, the woman said. Darren Grayson, I presume? That's me, I replied. The house is beautiful. Hey, so it is. Karen has assured me that the inside is ship-shape, Harriet said. My wife walked over to introduce herself. Faye Grayson, she said, shaking Harriet's hand. Nice to meet you, Faye. How'd you feel about living in such an isolated place, huh? Harriet asked. It'll take some adjusting, Faye said, clasping her hand around mine. But it'll be fine. I'll work from home.
Oh, hey. When the internet's working, so do I. Harriet chuckled.
Do you mind if I ask something? I blurted out.
Go ahead, Harriet replied.
This is a civil job, correct? And you work for Strats Bay Council, I asked.
Hey, that's right, Harriet replied, nodding. I deal with administrative matters.
Well, we're a long way from Strats Bay, I pointed out. Why is this position so important to them? I'm not complaining about being hired for such a well-paid job, but it's a sizable investment from a town so far from here.
It would be a sizable investment, even if it had been a local council, I thought to myself. I still did not understand why a neighborhood watchman was needed.
I suppose it's time to talk about your role, eh? Harriet said, waving for me to follow her. I'll take the kids inside, Faye said. Have you got the keys?
Door's unlocked, dearie. Keys are on the table, Harriet explained.
I remember thinking that such a lackadaisical attitude seemed out of place for a hamlet with its own watchtower.
Don't worry, I only unlocked it this morning, Harriet said, reading my mind. I assure you that we keep our doors locked in the hamlet.
Where are we going? I asked.
Cairn's shop, which we like to use as a town hall when the need arises, Harriet explained. He's the mayor of this hamlet, you might say. He supplies the food, he fixes broken things, and he makes the final call on all decisions. She led me into the store, which was deceptively spacious. In the center of the room, there was a clearing with 12 chairs. Two were empty. A middle-aged man with a bushy beard rose to his feet.
"Hello, Darren," the man roared jubilantly, raising his arms in a welcoming gesture. "It's nice to finally meet you. I'm Cairn Green, and these are your neighbors."
"Hi," a young woman sheepishly chirped up, raising a hand. "I'm Lottie. This is my husband, David. We have three wee ones at home. They're very excited to meet your weens."
"Weens?" I asked.
The room erupted with laughter.
"English folk, huh?"
Harriet chuckled. Then she smiled at me.
"A ween is a child."
"Oh, right," I laughed awkwardly. "Yeah, I got two children. Sorry about that." The rest of the people in the room introduced themselves, other than two silent, sinister-looking boys.
"And that just leaves these stoic teenagers," Cairn said, motioning towards the two fearsome chaps who were sitting with their arms crossed. "These are my boys, Benny on the left, Richard on the right. They help me out at the store, but they don't talk much."
"It's nice to meet all of you," I stammered. "That's a lot of names."
Cairn chuckled, sitting back down. "Hey, I know this is quite overwhelming, and it's not even what you want to know, is it?"
I laughed uncontrollably, shrugging. Cairn nodded, removing his glasses, polishing them with the bottom of his leather jacket, then placing them back on his face.
"This is a quiet road, Darren. It's a good place with good people."
Cairn stopped, his lips trembling.
"But that doesn't mean we're surrounded by good things, you know."
My new neighbors murmured and nodded their heads in agreement. "I see that the watchtower overlooks the forest," I said. "Is there something dangerous in there?" Cairn paused for a long time.
"Hey, you could say that."
"I thought all the deadly wildlife in Britain was exterminated centuries ago," I replied.
"Well," Cairn hesitated, "there are things in that forest. You wouldn't believe me even if I were to tell you."
I was a little exasperated at this point. "What exactly does my job entail? I know I only have to sit in a watchtower, but when should I sound the alarm, so to speak?"
"You'd know," Cairn promised, "but I hope it doesn't come to that."
He swiftly changed the topic by offering tea and biscuits to everyone. I didn't know much about Scottish wildlife, but I knew it wasn't particularly threatening. I couldn't see why a tiny hamlet would need a watchman to spot deer or Highland cows. I felt unsettled, to say the least. I was on watch 7 days a week. Faye didn't mind because my hours were short. Midnight to 4 a.m. 31,000. Whew! Fantastic. I had plenty of time to spend with my family, even though I would sleep until midday. I remember being terrified on my first night as a watchman, so it was almost an anticlimax when nothing happened. And nothing happened for months. Well, a wild boar ran out of the forest in quite a state. I shoot it back. That was 20 minutes of excitement. Can I come up the tower? I remember Rory asking as I tucked him into bed. It's boring up there, I laughed. Even being a security guard has more fun.
Sometimes from the window, I watch the forest with you, Grace said as I knelt down to kiss her goodnight.
I smiled. Don't worry, I won't tell your mom that you were out of bed.
Thanks, Grace replied.
Could you tell Harriet, though? I'm basically doing the same job as you. I wouldn't mind getting $31,000 salary.
I cracked until my eyes brimmed with water. 10-year-olds say the darndest things. Her 5-year-old brother always seemed confused by her gips, and that only made each situation funnier. Still, Grace's words rang true. What was I doing? Why was I being paid so much for this? I kept dismissing it as a bureaucratic oversight and continued to happily collect my money, but I didn't like the idea of performing a pointless service.
Am I just doing nothing every day? I asked Faye.
Half of the world is trapped at home. They're doing nothing, my wife pointed out. This is a blessing, Darren. We've landed on our feet. Look at this amazing house. We wouldn't have ever been able to buy this place, even if we combined our salaries. How many people get such an incredible opportunity?
Faye always had a way of soothing me.
Let's just say on a particularly warm night in the summer of 2020, she found a way to liven up my watch. The kids were having a sleepover with the 3 youngsters at Lottie's house, and Faye kept me company in the watchtower. I think you get my drift.
As we were getting dressed, I looked out of the glass pane that overlooked the forest. The blood drained from my eyes. Standing a few yards in front of the tree line was something on all fours. It looked like a man who had contorted his limbs, bending his arms and legs outwards to walk like a 4-legged creature. Whatever black shape I saw, it immediately scurried backwards when it sensed my gaze. It vanished into the forest.
Did you see that? I asked Faye.
What? Are you worried that someone was watching? My wife teased, before clambering down the ladder and returning to the house.
I was more vigilant than usual over the following weeks. Those 4 hours started to feel ceaseless. I would keep my eyes peeled on the forest. Every blink felt like a luxury I could not afford. I was actually working, at long last, and I was exhausted. Fear had fatigued me. By December, I decided that enough was enough. I needed to start getting some proper sleep. I started to relax on my shifts. It was just an animal, I decided. As the temperature plummeted below freezing and snow began to fall, the daily watch grew more brutal. On one particular shift, I was shivering in my poorly insulated room at the top of the watchtower, watching white flakes cascade from the sky and obscure my view of the forest. I saw something. It was the first thing I had seen since the haunting apparition. An ocean of snow had entirely coated the treetops and the falling ground below me, but I could finally see black shapes emerging from the forest. I felt my soul vacate my body for a brief moment. I hadn't imagined the creature at all. It was real, and there was more than one of them. Black spindly limbs slowly marched through the snow. I could see half a dozen of these things heading towards the hamlet. As I fumbled in my thick coat for the walkie-talkie, I saw that the creatures were huddled together and making their way towards my tower.
Karen! I cried into the walkie-talkie. Are you there? There's some sort of animal coming out of the forest.
To my surprise, his response was instant.
You've done well. You've gotten us time.
I need you to abandon your post and meet me at my store. I didn't need to be told twice. As I practically slid down the ladder from my tower, I squinted at the creatures through the thick waterfall of snowflakes in the sky. I still couldn't really believe what my eyes were seeing. Let's just say that my curiosity isn't as strong as my will to live. I didn't stick around to get a better look. I waded through the white muck, fixating my eyes on Karen's shop and refusing to look back. He was motioning for me to hurry up. Once I was safely inside, he bolted the door behind me. I suddenly realized that my family was there. Everyone from the hamlet was there. Faye, Rory, and Grace ran towards me, and I embraced them. "What's happening?" Faye whispered. "Everyone needs to follow Barry and Richard to the back of the shop. You'll be safe there," Karen ordered. The emotionless brothers nodded and started to leave the small group of residents to the door behind the till. "Not you, Watchman," Karen said, grabbing my wrist before I could join my family. Faye stopped and turned to face me. Richard grabbed her arm and shook his head. He insisted that my wife follow him. I heard her continue to ask what was happening as Barry closed the door and locked it. He and his brothers stayed in the main shop area with Karen and me.
"Look," Karen said.
I looked. Outside the shop window was the main road, snow-covered grass, then a blanket of darkness. There was a long, glorious moment of silence. Then, from the black void before us, the creatures emerged. I could finally see them clearly. My eyes had not deceived me. These things looked half-human, stripped bare, bodies coated in mud, and limbs bent outwards. As the first creatures reached the road, I saw that their eyes lacked pupils, their mouths were open, and their teeth appeared to have been sharpened.
"What the F are they?" I asked in a breathless voice.
"Hey, that's the question we want to answer," Karen replied. "Do you see why you wouldn't have believed me?"
"What are they?" I repeated.
"Used to be like us," Karen replied. "Folks say something happened in one of the old factories 30 years ago. Truth is, we don't know. But every once in a blue moon, we see them. This is sooner than expected. Before the last sighting in 2019, we hadn't seen him for 20 years. Now, a year later, here we find ourselves. Maybe they're getting less patient."
"This..." I paused, unable to think. "What do we do?"
"It's the only thing that appeases them," Karen said.
"And what's that?"
The sudden thump on my right side of my face was certainly unexpected. I fell to the floor, clutching my wounded jaw, and I looked up at Karen. The bastard had sucker-punched me.
"I'm sorry, lad," Karen said. "Other than the brothers, the people in there don't quite understand how it works. They don't know how we managed to survive.
A sacrifice. That's what it takes. The brave watchman dies, fighting the beasts. The beasts return to the forest. We found another watchman to take his place. You, a hero, the sacrificial lamb."
You frickin' crazy," I cried, crawling backwards across the floor.
As Karen strolled towards me, I looked out of the shop door to my left. The creatures were standing in the road. They were waiting patiently.
"I have 20 people to protect in my hamlet. Look, I'll make sure your family has enough money to set them up for life. Do this for them, Darren. We have to give the creatures something. We have to show them a wee bit of respect, eh?"
Karen shouted, growing flustered. I twisted my head to the right, looking for something in the store that I could use to defend myself.
"And don't think about calling to your family, okay?" Karen warned. "Otherwise, my boys might just let them out. The creatures might be treated to a bigger meal."
I had an idea, but I had to act quickly.
"Okay, let's start this performance,"
Karen said, clearing his throat.
"What are you doing? Watchmen, don't go out there. That's bloody suicide. Please, you don't need to prove anything to us. We can fight the creatures."
I grabbed a heavy porcelain vase from the shelf next to me and launched it with all my might at the shop window. It shattered.
"No, Karen!"
I bellowed, using his own trick. "Don't do it!" The man did not have a chance to say anything in response. One of the creatures had already crawled through the broken window. The beast sunk its teeth into Karen's neck, claiming its trophy. The shopkeeper wailed as the creature dragged him over broken glass into the night. Richard and Barry charged blindly after their father. I pulled myself to my feet and quickly back towards the door behind the till. I didn't dare take my eyes off the creatures, but they were a little busy. Richard was faster than Barry. He swung his fist at one of the monsters that was dragging his father away. He fell flat on the road. Before the boy even had a chance to stand up, two of the creatures had set upon him. They frantically dug their pincer-like limbs into his body. I cannot quite describe the sound of agony that escaped his mouth, as a cavity was created in his back and his blood began to paint the snow. All I could say is that the sound was short-lived, and the creatures continued to hack away at his corpse, until it was an indistinguishable pile of crusted organs and bones in the snow. Barry's fate was worse. His father had long been dragged away at this point. But once the surviving brother had pulled himself free from a state of frozen stasis, he charged through the broken shop window to avenge his brother. Two of the creatures had disappeared into the forest with Karen's body. The four remaining beasts surrounded Barry. When they pounced, they knocked him into the snow, and each of the creatures seized a limb. Moving in all four directions, the horrific creatures pulled at Barry's arms and legs. They pulled until the flesh started to tear and bones started to break. Barry's screams were louder than those of his brother. The creatures continued to pull. Then, in beautifully horrific unison, all four limbs detached from Barry's torso at once, like the most macabre choreography imaginable. Their creatures brought their dance to a close. At this point, realizing I was the only one left, I fumbled with the door handle behind the till. I heard my family crying inside. Then I realized one of the brothers had the key, and my heart sank. I was sure I would die. By some strange twist of fate, however, the creatures ignored me and followed their deformed friends back into the forest. I never told the people of the hamlet what Karen had done to the previous watchman. I didn't want them to know that the poor man had died unwillingly. I didn't want them to know that Karen had planned the same for me. Then again, am I any better? I offered the creatures a sacrifice, after all. I know I should leave this place. I should take my family and run. But these people don't know what Karen had to do to protect them. And these creatures will return, whether 1 year or 10 years from now. When that happens, what will I do?